We sound as good as bad.
This is Jimmy producer Jeremy fails to get this thing. Ridiculous. John Alexander next.
I'm Kim Cartwright. Leading employment lawyers are reminding hospitality, fast food, retail and pharmacy workers to ensure they are not shortchanged this weekend when penalty rates are slashed. Today is the first Sunday the new penalty rates will be in effect following a Fair Work Commission ruling this year in February. Slater and Gordon principal employment lawyer Aaron Nielsen said workers need to remember the cuts will not be fully implemented for a number of years.
The Fair Work Commission recently revised its decision to grade in the changes. So you're going to see a gradual reduction of penalty rates through to 2019 for those in the hospitality and fast food industry and 2020 for the retail and pharmacy workers.
Mr. Nielsen adds that it's still important to check your payslip carefully and that if you think there's been an error, you are well within your rights to question your employer.
The Fair Work Act's pretty clear about the protections for employees who raise concerns about what their pay is and what their entitlements are. People are naturally reluctant to directly confront their employer, but the Fair Work Act does offer them some protection. So they should have that comfort in mind when they raise it.
Police have released CCTV footage in a bid to find three young men who allegedly fled the scene of a car crash in Western Sydney, leaving a female passenger to die on the side of the road. The woman, believed to be of Asian descent, aged in her 20s or early 30s, is yet to be formally identified. She was wearing grey track pants and black work boots and was in the station wagon with the men when they crashed into a concrete traffic island and then a power pole in Chester Hill around 6:30 yesterday morning. The men allegedly fled after pulling her from the wreckage and leaving her on the footpath. The number of children adopted from foster care in New South Wales has risen a record 90%. The creation of the Adoptions Task Force by the Department of Family and Community Services has seen 127 adoptions of children who had been living in foster care take place in the year to 2017, up from just 67 the year prior. Minister for Family and Community Services, Prue Goward, says the state government has invested in speeding up the process to provide stability for children in need.
We know if a child can't live safely with their parents and they are in the care of the minister until they're 18, so much better than having them bounce from family to family to give them a family for life, a family that wants them.
To Western Australia, and a woman in her 60s has been assaulted by a home intruder while she slept. Police in Geraldton are investigating after a woman was awoken in the early hours of yesterday morning by a man in her bedroom inappropriately touching her. The young man who fled when she woke is described as a dark-skinned male, 13 to 18 years old, and around 160 to 165 centimetres tall. A man has been kicked and punched and glassed in the face after being set upon by four others at a hotel in Ipswich. Queensland police say the 38-year-old man had been playing pool at the Brisbane Terrace Hotel in Goodna when he got into an argument with the men around 2:30 on Saturday. Anyone who may have witnessed the attack is urged to contact police. Also in news, two Sydney teenagers, alleged to have clear links to terror suspects, have faced court accused of selling guns and drugs to undercover police. And 25 people have been injured in a shooting at a concert in the US state of Arkansas. This is AIR News. Manly's biggest NRL recovery since 2014 is a sign the club is on the right path, according to captain Daly Cherry Evans. The Sea Eagles were well below their best for the first 20 minutes of their clash with the Warriors in Perth, but still recovered from a 16-0 deficit to win 26-22 yesterday. If we can win those sorts of games under adversity like that, it's a really good sign of where we're at as a side, Cherry Evans said. The Manly halfback has since taken charge of the Sea Eagles and made the team his own. Jeff Horn will be ready to adapt to whatever happens in Sunday's Battle of Brisbane, trainer Glenn Rushton says. A crowd of more than 50,000 will be on hand for the unbeaten Australians' title shot against Manny Pacquiao for the WBO welterweight crown. Pacquiao is the hot favourite, but Horn's camp is confident he can produce an upset over the Filipino legend who's out to prove he's still at the peak of his powers at 38 years of age. Horn may not be as quick as Pacquiao, but he is bigger, younger, and according to Rushton, perfectly prepared for whatever sort of fight comes his way. Ricky Stewart has lamented a lack of professionalism with the football after Canberra's NRL loss to North Queensland left their finals hopes hanging by a thread. The Raiders lost 31-18 to the Cowboys in freezing conditions at GIO Stadium last night, with the coach admitting they face an uphill battle to make back-to-back finals series for the first time since 2004. Australian Independent Radio News.
Whinge and whine about the traffic? Think of the wine you have at home. A glass of Windy Peak Sauvignon Blanc Semillon. By De Bortoli, of course. Here's the traffic.
Discover your style these school holidays at the Interactive Fashion Week experience at Madame Tussauds, Sydney. Receive an Express Napoleon Purtis makeover, strut the catwalk and pose with Megan Gale. We've got delays heading to the airport. Very heavy on Marsh Street and Airport Drive as you approach the International Terminal. Crawling on the M5 East westbound as well. That starts back at Kings Road and northbound on West Botany Street. A truck has broken down in Mona Vale. That's on Mona Vale Road between Emma Street and Ponderosa Parade, and that's affecting traffic in both directions. When was the last time you checked your home loan rate? Mortgage House believe if you're paying more than 4%, you're paying too much. Switch to Mortgage House and save. Call 133 144. Conditions apply. I'm Solomon Gates, number one in racing on Sky Sports Radio.
Ride the night with Trackside. For the first time ever, you can now experience the thrill of trackside thoroughbred, craze and harness races under lights. Switching across to night racing from 7 p.m, you'll see trackside as you've never seen it before. So, light up your night and play trackside at your local tap venue. Gamble responsibly.
Z&Z Jewellers has been a Hurstville institution for over a quarter of a century. And for over 20 years, they've been the source of the NRL's official watches, rings, pendants and cufflinks. So if you want the official watch of your NRL team or engagement and wedding rings, corporate gifts, all types of remodelling and repairs, Z&Z's your place. See Z&Z at Westfield Hurstville or visit znz.com.au.
Proud sponsors of the St George Junior Referees.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Frost and patchy fog in the west, clearing to a sunny day, heading for a top temperature of 17 degrees, albeit on this cool winter's day. Now, Jimmy, we'll go to Ingleburn to get the current temperature, and to why are we going to Istanbul in Turkey?
Oh, because they were unlucky to miss out to Tokyo, the last Olympic bid. We didn't want to give the whole weather for Turkey. It was actually singular. So we went to Istanbul. Ingleburn right now, Raymond, 6 degrees, a maximum expected of 17 degrees. And right now in Turkey, it's 27 degrees Celsius with an expected top today of 33 degrees. So there you go. It's anyone listening in Istanbul, there's your, there's your weather.
Listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Resting on his laurels, I think, producer Jeremy.
I'd say that.
The ratings juggernaut. You know what he's got up on his desk?
No.
The article that appeared in the Phil Rothfield column, What's the Buzz? With your photo in it.
Has he?
Yes. So all day he stares at your photo, right? Just thought I'd put that
he's
out there.
Got issues, Jeremy. I'll take that down afterwards.
I think that's just the start of them, too. John Alexander coming up very shortly. We'll have a sports update with Tanya. We'll take your calls on 1353-53. We've got Trent Lanscar from tab.com.au and Scotty Foster from Steve Foster and Sons as well. Remember, our talk topic for today, fairy tale victories. We think, we hope, we pray that Jeff Horn is going to beat Manny Pacquiao up there at Suncorp Stadium. The fight will be about 1:30. It's starting at 11 a.m. They are expecting at $59.95 this to be the most subscribed event in main event history.
So I could effectively watch it and then go to ANZ.
Yeah. Or you could find a... You're going to ANZ Stadium for the Panthers versus Roosters game. Yeah. Rabbitohs game. Yeah. Why don't you find a hotel or somewhere on the way?
Pullman.
Yeah, the Pullman. Yeah. Perfect. I'm sure they'd have the fight on.
That might be me. I'll just sort of twist Tan's arm.
Actually, that's a great idea. Yeah. I don't know whether Tan thinks it's a great idea, but I think it's a great idea.
Cheering for Jeff Horn too. On that talk topic, is one from Bandit from Leichhardt. Good one. Fairy tales. He's got Greece, the football champions of Europe in 2004. That was a fairy tale. Kieran Perkins, Lane 8, 1996.
Atlanta, 1500. Good one.
100%. Kathy, Sydney Olympics 2000. Fairy tale. Fairy tale.
She was expected to win, but what enormous pressure.
Extraordinary. And a few people have now mentioned this. Prince of Penzance and Michelle Payne in the 2015 Melbourne Cup at 101. Bandit goes into your list, Jim.
Who's that? Bandit from Leichhardt? That's a good one, Bandit.
Listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Well, given the fact that Wimbledon is just about to start, and we're excited about that, our legend of the game today is a former tennis player. John Alexander played professionally from 1969 to 1985. And actually played Davis Cup for Australia from 1968 to 1983. Seven tour titles during the course of his career, with a career high number 8 in the world, and that was achieved in December 1975. He's now the member for Bendalong since 2010, and it's great to have him on the phone. G'day, John.
Good morning. How are you?
Really well. Thanks very much for joining us. We appreciate it, and giving us a chance to walk down memory lane with you. First of all, and we like to ask it of all our legends that come on the program, how did tennis become a part of your life, John?
I was born into it in that mum and dad met playing tennis.
Right.
And they were social tennis players. When mum was first a mother, dad was fearful that she was being socially isolated. He was a door-to-door salesman, and he saw some ladies playing on a backyard court nearby. And he went up and he asked them, could his wife join them? And they were delighted to have another player come and join them. Mum's standard was better, and they started telling her about club competition. And so she got into club competition. And and then eventually we ended up with a tennis court in our backyard, and the kids learned to play.
Was there any other sports in John Alexander's youth, or was it all about tennis, John?
Well, just before we got the tennis court, Dad was planning on building cricketing nets because he'd been a cricketer.
Right.
And he taught me to bowl, and I was in the cricket team at primary school and doing quite well. And so he probably had an intention that I would be cricket would be my sport, but he was just as open-minded towards tennis. And so when the tennis court came, you know, we all joined in tennis, and I was excluded because I had two elder sisters, still do actually, and they'd play doubles with mum and dad, and I wasn't allowed to play because I couldn't serve well enough.
Right.
Oh, I showed them.
Did you have an affinity for it straight away? And the other thing about it is not only an affinity for it, but an accessibility to it that I don't think kids of today, for a lot of different reasons, John, don't have. It seemed that everyone had, or every second person had a tennis court, and every second person played.
That's it. We had access.
Yeah.
We had the opportunity to play. And did I have an affinity for it? My sister, who was having lessons, tried to teach me, and she'd throw the ball to me, and I was sure I could hit it. I was hitting air, and like, give me that. I'd get really upset. Give me another go. Give me another go. And then she's trying to tell me to take it back. One, hit two, follow through three, and all this. No. Let me hit. And I was hopeless, but I thought I was good, but no, had no talent at all.
So, John, when did the moment come? And we talk about that moment in people's lives, which it sort of send on their course of direction, so to speak, their destiny. When was that moment when you thought, I can make a career out of tennis?
Well, I'll tell you that the first moment in wanting to be a competitive tennis player, our coach took us to play in the Rockdale Illawarra Championships over at Rockdale, and I lost to Alan McDonald 6-love, 6-1, and I was bound and determined that I was going to beat him sometime. And so Dad and I started practicing every morning, and it took years before I finally notched up a win against him, and then followed by a lot of losses. But it was that, as a friend of mine once said recently, when we were playing a social game of tennis, I'm not competitive, and then at about 3-all in the first set, my partner said to me, who is my partner, I'm not competitive. I just hate losing.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think I'm in that camp.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, one thing led to another. You know, you play junior tournaments and have a bit of success, and one thing builds on another. And then I got selected in the Junior Davis Cup team in 1967. And when I was over in the US playing in the US Junior US Professional Championships in Philadelphia, I got telegram
yeah,
saying I'd been selected in the Davis Cup team to travel with Harry Hopman.
Yeah. 1968. Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? So it's almost, when you look at the numbers that Australians are posting across the world at that time, you know, tennis is such a big part of our psyche. I'll go to the Wimbledon, the first one you played, 1969. You got your best result. You reached the fourth round. Rod Laver won it. John Newcomb was the runner-up. Bill Bowrey was there. Roy Emerson, Ken Rosewell, Fred Stolle, Mal Anderson and Phil Dent. I think Tony Roach was there as well. Great result for you, but the camaraderie and the fact that all these Australians are there, did that make it easier for you or make it harder for you? How did that play out, John?
Yeah, look, there would have been, I'd reckon, 30 Australians in the draw, if you can imagine that. And actually, my first Wimbledon was 68. So Wimbledon, the first as a professional. Now, I think 69, you couldn't take prize money until you turned 18. And so I was still barred from prize money at 69.
Right.
Look, there was great camaraderie. It was a great time of change because open tennis had started in 68.
Mm.
So a lot of the Australian players had become professionals. And there was the fragmentation of the amateur game. Harry Hopman couldn't come to terms with Tennis Australia, if you can believe it, the greatest coach of all time, couldn't get a job in Australia. And so the team disbanded when Bill Bowrey and Ray Ruffles and Phil Dent and I lost in Mexico in the Davis Cup. So the team was disbanded. And we went on our separate ways. And Harry went on to coach at the Port Washington Academy in New York and then his own academy down in Florida. And there was no player development program in Australia. And that coincided with the incredible uplift of property values and so the reduction of tennis courts, which over that period of time, we've gone from having more tennis courts per head of population than any other country to, in Sydney, we've lost between 80 and 90% of our tennis courts in the last 30 to 40 years.
Mm-hmm. That's a kid,
huge loss of courts and huge loss of opportunity to play.
Yeah, 100%. As a kid, I remember wherever I used to go on school holidays, at schools, you could always find a tennis court to play with my brother. It was amazing.
Yeah.
You mentioned 30 men in that 1969 Wimbledon, John. This year, staying to mind, there's 6 Australian men in the singles, and we've often said that's quite a good number, but that reflects the diversity and the change in Australian tennis, isn't it?
Yeah, well, when you think of it, if you go back to 1969, Rod Laver won the Grand Slam for the first and only time in the Open era. Margaret Court won the Grand Slam the following year.
Mm.
6 out of the world's top 10 men would have been Australian. And 4 of those would have compared favourably with Roger Federer, Novak Djokovic, Rafael Nadal, and Andy Murray.
Yeah.
And you say, well, that's impossible. But if you compare Rod Laver, who won 2 Grand Slams, he's right up there.
Yep.
If you compare Ken Rosewall, who won 7 Grand Slam events but missed out 11 years, there's not a player today that's won an event outside of a 10-year period.
Mm-hmm.
So 8 times world professional champion. Roy Emerson, who'd won more Grand Slams than anyone until Pete Sampras took his record. John Newcomb, who won Wimbledon 3 times, which in US and Australian championships, he'd compare favourably. He was the poor brother of he'd compare favourably with Andy Murray. So, our top 4 men were just unbelievable. And in the women, there was probably by 1970-ish with Yvonne and Kerry Melville and Karen Kransky and Margaret Court and Leslie Bowrey, Leslie Turner. We had 5 or so of the top 10 women in the world. So, we were dominating the game like no country's ever dominated.
Mm. Have you got a career best win? I see in 1975, on the 31st of March, you beat Ily Nastasi on a hard court at Tucson in straight sets. Is that the best win of your career?
It was the best tournament that I won. I beat Marty Rees and Arthur Ashe, John Newcomb and Ily Nastasi to win that event.
Wow.
And it was, at the time, the highest prize money event. It was beaten a couple of weeks later because the prize money was going up nearly weekly. But the Las Vegas event had more prize money a few weeks later. But yeah, that was my best tournament for sure. And it was I didn't know how many friends I had until I beat Ily Nastasi at the final, who had upset. You know, the term upset Ken Rosewall was an understatement in the semi-final, because Ily's behaviour was just so totally disruptive. The living legend became upset, which he never lost his rag, but he did this day. And Ily had gone over the side of the court and thrown all his rackets into the crowd and did all sorts of, you know, ridiculous things, and, you know, which led to, you know, the book of rules that we have that's probably about 300 pages thick now to govern such behaviour.
Yeah, right.
John, we saw Ily Nastasi's antics on court, and even people like Jimmy Connors as well, and John McEnroe. You played against these guys. What were they like off court in the locker room?
Well, you know, Jimmy sometimes gets, you know, grouped with those other two. Jimmy was a fair and level competitor.
Yeah.
He was colourful at times, but that was more self-chastisement than a strategic effort to disrupt the play and distract the opponent.
Whereas fair
enough, McEnroe and Nastasi, yeah, were systematically, as soon as the trend of the game was going against them, they'd want to control it by doing anything to break the person's concentration. And the moment they could engage their opponent in the fracas, then they would bear down. It was a pretty... And it's what led to, you know, what was the rule was play shall be continuous, you know, about five words or so, to, you know, literally pages of governing rules to control players' behaviour.
I read a book once. It was called Bad News for McEnroe by Bill Scanlon, and it talked about the transition from the period of the, you know, that Australian era that we're talking about that you played in, John, where, you know, everyone seemed to be mates and they'd catch up in the bar afterwards, to a time when everyone had an entourage because of the money that was in the sport, and it became very different. You played through those different eras. Did you notice the big change that someone like Bill Scanlon was talking about in that book?
Yes. I've not read his book, but Bill was a very talented player and a very intelligent bloke. Yes, what he's saying is correct. Neil Fraser often said, you know, when I first travelled, there was Harry Hopman and six or seven players. And now Pat Cash has six or seven, you know, he's got a coach, he's got a trainer, he's got a psychologist, he's got, you know, there was about eight people in his entourage. We used to room together to save money, to be able to afford to stay in a hotel.
Yeah.
And sometimes there was five or six of us in a boarding house at 252 Upper Richmond Road in Putney in London during Wimbledon at 17 and 6 a night. You know, it was a glamorous life. And so this transition from a sport where people expected to play in a sporting culture to a competition for prize money where you've got to replace that sporting situation with ethical practices and finally, you know, lawyerly-like language to cover the rules of tennis. So it's a transition from a sport to a professional competition. And, you know, I often think the day that Trevor Chappell bowled the ball along the ground was the transition for cricket from a sport. And, you know, cricket being the word meaning that you played in a sporting way to a professional competition where a captain's his team has got themselves into a position. And if the rules allow them to bowl along the ground to stop a four being hit, it's the captain's responsibility to achieve that win. And so that day was the transition to me from the sport of cricket to the professional competition of cricket. And so therefore, rule changes had to be made to preserve the cricket in cricket.
Yeah, no, I understand.
And that happened over a period of time in tennis with various incidents. There was an incident at Palermo where a player ran into a fence and a nail had been left and really gouged his leg. Well, there was no injury time out in those days, and so there was a bit of common sense, and he was allowed to put some tape on it and play on. Well, that led directly to an injury being incurred and an injury time out being allowed, and then that was defined to it couldn't be treatment of a pre-existing injury, cramps and such were a loss of condition, but then, with the threat of lawsuit, these things were allowed to be included in injury and such things.
Mm. Yeah, common sense came into play. John, one thing you were renowned for was your patriotism, your love of playing for Australia in the Davis Cup. And can I take you to the 1977 final? You mentioned an Australia-New Zealand cricket match. This was a famous match for different reasons. Australia regained the Davis Cup 4-0 in Auckland. And I wanted to ask you in particular about a dead rubber against Oni Perun, I think his name was. Mm-hmm. And you're down two sets to love, but John Alexander wanted to win, even though the Davis Cup was already secured for Australia, and you actually won that in five sets.
Yes. His name still is Perun.
Okay.
Oni Perun. And we talk, it's a funny thing when you go into politics, Oni was one of the first people to call me. He used to come and stay at our home in Sydney as a young player, and so did his brother Tony, who was a very good international player. And he called, and his views of politics were really far more enlightened than mine and far more to the right. And another guy called me, Fru McMillan, who's a South African great doubles player, won Wimbledon, and lives in Bristol. Mm-hmm. And I'd played him in the first round of Wimbledon in 1968, and he called and wanted to know about it. But I do remember that match. It was a dead rubber, and everybody hates playing dead rubbers.
Yep.
And I got down two sets to love. And I'm just trying to think. I think it was the crowd was a bit parochial, and you should let the dead dog lie. And so that aggravated me, and it provoked me into my very best effort and kept doggedly going along. We were playing at Stanley Street, and I think it was just before they tore up the grass.
Yep. Right.
And it was at the end of the season, and the grass was hard and favoured the server, so it was very hard to break serve. So, it's one of those things that, and no tiebreakers in those days.
That's
so
right.
I'd lost to Oni a number of times. We probably about batted even over our careers, which was a fair enough result.
Yeah.
Hi, John. Look, great to spend some time with you this morning. It's been fascinating getting a perspective of a real transition from an Australian point of view to a world stage for tennis and from an individual to a team sport in many ways. Really great spending time with you this morning. Appreciate it.
Good talking to you. Any friend of Leslie Turner? Bowery is a friend of mine.
Ah, thank you. Yes.
Good on you,
great
John.
Text.
Yeah, great people, Leslie and Bill.
Yeah,
fantastic. Good on you, John.
Thanks so much, John.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks.
There he is, John Alexander.
He had a wonderful serve. Remember, John Newcomb used to always say John Alexander's serve was textbook.
Classical serve, eh?
Classical serve.
6'3". You don't think he's that tall, is he? 6'3".
Yeah.
Perfect build for a tennis player.
And great serve.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Great to have John Alexander as our legend of the game. Time now for this.
Sports Breakfast Weekend with a sports update. Here's Tanya Thomas.
A crowd of more than 50,000 expected today for the Battle of Brisbane, where Manny Pacquiao and Queenslander Jeff Horn meet for the WBO welterweight crown at Suncorp Stadium. The Aussies trainer Glenn Rushton says Jeff will be ready to adapt to whatever happens. The day's festivities are underway with a junior welterweight bout. In fact, there are six fights scheduled before the big one at 1:30. Ricky Stewart admits his Canberra side faces an uphill battle to make back-to-back finals for the first time since 2004 after a 31-18 loss to North Queensland in a freezing Canberra last night. Four straight losses has put the Green Machine a couple of wins out of the top eight. Cronulla demolished the Roosters at Central Coast Stadium 44-12, racing in seven tries. And Dally Cherry Evans once again steered Manly to a 26-22 win over the Warriors in Perth. Cherry Evans saying after the match that he hopes he has now done enough to warrant a State of Origin recall. Today, Newcastle versus the West Tigers at 2 and South and Penrith at ANZ at 4. AFL last night, and a tough one for ladder leaders GWS, who were trailing for most of the match against Geelong. They were in the lead just before the siren, however, when Cats forward Tom Hawkins took a mark and had a chance to win the game at the death, but sliced his attempt at goal, kicking a behind to lock the scores at 68-all after the siren. The Gold Coast celebrated Gary Ablett Jr.'s 300th match with a 19-point win over North Melbourne, and Richmond is back into the top four after a 13-point win over Port Adelaide. The British and Irish Lions scored two late tries to beat a 14-man New Zealand team 24-21 in the second rugby test in Wellington to take the series to a third test decider in Auckland. But they're not getting too carried away, knowing they had a man advantage for most of the game when Sonny Bill Williams was sent off after his shoulder thumped into Anthony Watson's head into a tackle. However, coach Warren Gatlin was pleased to have kept the All Blacks tryless and has belief and confidence heading into next Saturday's match. Meantime, in Super Rugby, it was round 15, but for the South Africa 1 and 2 conference only. The Kings 31 beat the Jaguars 30, Stormers 40, the Cheetahs 34, and the Lions 94 beat the Sunwolves 7, scoring 14 tries to 1. Welshman Geraint Thomas won the first stage 14-kilometre time trial of the Tour de France overnight. His Team Sky Rider teammate and defending champ Chris Froome was 12 seconds behind in sixth spot, and Aussie Richie Porte in 49th spot is 47 seconds behind. There are eight Aussies lining up in the first round at Wimbledon, which gets underway tomorrow night. John Millman is faring the worst. He has to take on Rafael Nadal. Nick Kyrgios will play Pierre Hughes-Herbert, Bernard Tomic, Misha Zverev, Jordan Thompson, Albert Ramos-Vinolas. Tanasi Kokkinakis will take on Juan Martín Del Potro. Andrew Whittington, Diego Monteiro. Of the women's, Daria Gavrilova takes on the unseeded Petra Martic, and a tough one for Ashleigh Barty. She'll play the fourth seed, Elena Svitolova. All teams in action tonight at the Women's Cricket World Cup in England. Australia takes on New Zealand in Bristol. The Aussies are 2-for-2, having already won games against the West Indies and Sri Lanka. And just over a month short of his 21st birthday, West Australian Curtis Luck is 4 off the lead late in the third round of the USPGA Tour event in Maryland. The Aussie is in a tie for fourth with Jeff Ogilvie. They're 3 off the lead. Swede David Lingworth leads by one shot at -7. Now, Curtis Boyes in March this year became the number one ranked amateur golfer in the world before turning pro a month later in April. He did win last year's West Australian Open as an amateur.
That's right.
And also last year he won the Emerging Athlete of the Year award at the Australian Institute of Sport Performance Awards. So with that ranking, he gained an exemption into the Masters this year, where he tied for 46. Which can you imagine? Great, you know the how overawed he would have been. But what he was mostly noted for. So we'll look out for him, obviously, as a great Australian talent emerging. But also he wears a man bun. And at the Masters this year, he wore a man bun and a trucker cap, and his vibrant appearance stuck out among the pristine but conservative surrounds at Augusta National Golf Club. He was named by Golf Digest as the style standout of an event seen by hundreds of millions of people worldwide.
So he beat Ricky Fowler.
Apparently so.
Wow. It was loud with his clothes.
Yeah.
So is that like winning Miss Congeniality at the Miss World competition?
A little bit like that,
something
isn't
like
it?
That. Yeah. Yeah. It's an award, but it's not really an award. So we'll look out for him, not only for his talent, but for his emerging style. And the man bun. I do like a man bun.
The rules of
bun.
Are we going to see a man bun on Ray Thomas? I tell you what, that would.
If
that
I could get one there, I would do it. If I could get one in a elastic band there, I'd get one going.
Look, producer Jeremy's come back with another one here.
Well,
he's on fire. He's called it Ray Thomas Bun on Bun.
I don't know what they'd think about him as he walked into the gates of
Royal Randwick.
Can you do it one day? Put a bun in?
You're kidding, aren't you?
Seriously.
Oh, or maybe a trucker cap. How about that?
It'd save him a fortune in hairspray. And the ozone layer.
At least when I run out, I know where to go. There's plenty in the other bathroom.
That's a secret of a good marriage. Two bathrooms. Yeah.
Bam. You're being smashed. I love it. Seriously, do you have to go to a break? Do we really? Oh.
Entries are now open for the 2018 Inglis Yearling Sale Series. 2017 was Inglis' greatest ever select yearling sale season. Join a world-class 2018. Entries close August 4. Enter online at inglis.com.au.
Your business can secure some extra stock at a great price, but the banks say no.
You want it in time for a peak sales period, yet they still say no.
You need funds before the deal disappears, but they keep saying no.
Turn the no's around and get on with it with OnDeck. Apply online in 10 minutes with just 3 bank statements, not the deed to your house. And you're on your way with the cash flow you need. Visit ondeck.com.au.
OnDeck, the small business loan specialist. Loan subject to lender approval. OnDeck partners with MYOB.
An absolute joy to be here. A little mini classic early in the season.
Listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Just before we get to callers now, Handyman from French's Forest said, fairy tales, Harry Kuehl taking Galatasaray to Turkey's soccer premiership. Well,
God, that Istanbul thing going here, Jim.
Of course, Galatasaray, based out of Istanbul. So I don't know whether they were heavily involved in the bid for the 2020 Olympics. But anyway, thank you.
Yeah, move on with the order from producer Jeremy. A couple here. Michelle from Dubbo was always going to be a fairy tale. The Gundawindi Grey Gunsin. What a fantastic story. Champion racehorse, early 70s. 100%.
No doubt about that.
And Chief from Cardiff. Hey, guys, what about the fairy tale of the US beating the USSR in the 1980 Winter Olympics in the ice hockey?
Yes.
They call that the miracle on ice.
The miracle on ice. Speaking of miracles, this comes in from Paul at Huskisson. Fairy tales in sport. What about the night I spent with Maria Sharapova? Oh, sorry. That was a dream I had. Paul, speculation she did less grunting than in a two-set walkover. So
no, that's enough of that.
They're all right.
Lovely Judy's just chimed in. Hi, yes. Hi, Jeremy. I received my CDs. Thank you. There is a change in Jimmy's voice since the quiz.
Yeah, well, that's when I was brought it in the quiz.
She's saying to Jeremy. Oh.
Good morning, Judy.
Good morning, Judy.
Good, glad you got those CDs. 1353-53, the open line number. Captain is on the line. Hello, Captain.
Just a skinny last. Oh, sorry, James. How are you, James?
Oh, yeah, please. Please. What do you got, Captain?
I've just seen Ricky Stewart.
Yes.
Crossing the bridge at the Kingston Bridge there, the Canberra Bridge, the big one.
Right.
Quite dejected.
Right.
A bit worried about the Raiders and their performance down there. From being a Canberra sort of, or Queensland, where they originated from, which is disappointing.
4 straight losses.
Very disappointing.
Now captain in real trouble.
Yeah.
Real trouble.
So not to beat them, blokes. We all know, weather's got to come into it, I don't care. Minus 60 and then minus 7, coming from Townsville, where it's 28, 29, to go down there. And to absolutely get... They were never in the hunt from the word go. They were never there to play football. And that's the disappointing thing for a Canberra supporter.
There's so much talent there. Mm. There is so much talent there that they're not... I mean, fair credit to Michael Morgan and his Cowboys. They did play well, but they are way off, the Canberra Raiders.
What a silly mistake, aren't they? Rushing.
Yeah,
they're
turning over football, but, you know... But that's a function of something else. You know, that's a function.
Good point.
You know, that's the concern,
probably.
Captain.
Lack of confidence.
Yeah. Definitely issues there.
Yeah. Yeah. Whatever they are, the footy that they're tossing up is not good. So
you go back 12 months ago, and you couldn't get enough on them to win this competition this year. Like having the same nuclear side here, Paul Vaughan, I think he's been a massive loss to them.
Well, look what happened when he doesn't play for the Dragons.
They come right back to the field.
Completely different side.
Yeah.
Big minutes, big body. Like, no offence to Big Junior and that, but... Mate, they look like they've been in a better paddock than me.
Well, Junior Paul, I still get big minutes out of him. I thought Josh Papali, you know, Josh Papali is a good forward and he's just not having the impact that he has had previously. Good on you, Captain. Appreciate that. Let's go to Jerry on the line. G'day, Jerry.
G'day, Jimmy, Ray.
Morning, Jerry.
Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Good on you, Jerry.
Good to hear from you, Jerry.
Ray, you'd a connoisseur of horse racing, you'd remember this. Bob Champion, the national
Aldeniti.
Aldeniti. Now, Bob, as you know, was life-threatening cancer, was never hoped to make it through and certainly not to ride again. Mm-hmm. Aldeniti, I think, broke a cannon bone or a sesame bone, was never to race again. Mm-hmm. Both of them beat, to me, beat death and came back to win England's biggest national hunt, Grand National.
Yeah, 81, I think, wasn't it, by memory?
I think Jerry? It was, yes. Yep.
They made the movie out of it, and John Hurt played Bob Champion.
Oh, really?
It was an amazing movie,
Amazing movie, and to beat cancer. I mean, they never expected that man to pull through, let alone ride again.
That's right, yeah, no, 100%. And,
Just massive, massive
That's a good call.
Good on you, Jerry.
Comeback.
Where do you live, Jerry?
I'm in Bermagui,
Beautiful part of the world.
Well, God's paradise.
Yeah, yeah. We used to go family holidays down to Naruma for about a decade.
Oh, lovely. I'm lucky enough to retire down here and, enjoy. Obviously, enjoy your program, never miss it, and enjoying life.
Well, thank you, Jerry.
Great stuff, Jerry.
Just
good
quickly,
work, mate.
Jerry, BBC gave Bob Champion their Personality of the Year award in 1981, and he was chosen also as one of the 100 greatest moments, sporting moments in English sport in 2002 by
Channel 4
viewers.
Yeah, wow. Awesome. That's a new one for me. I hadn't heard of that. Good one.
The movie,
great work, Jerry. Appreciate that call. And here, this comes in from Don from Carlton, mm-hmm. who, from what I understand, is in Western Australia, so he's obviously getting up early. Jimmy
Western
is
Australia.
Jealous. Ray uses hairspray and Jimmy uses spray on hair. See, there's no need for that, Don. It might be accurate.
What's Don doing over there?
Who cares? No, seriously, sleep in, big fella.
He's a good man, Don.
Let's go to the caller. Midnight. Hello, Midnight.
Hello, Jimmy. How you going, mate?
Very well, mate.
Morning, Midnight.
Just speaking of that, I got them CDs, mate.
Good one.
Terrific.
I don't know how old you think I am. You sent Roger Waters amongst them.
Well, how old are you?
Hey, younger than Roger.
Okay.
Anyway, boys, I'm going down to the club to watch the fight, down the Greta Workers Club.
Yes.
I don't think there'll be a person not watching it today.
Oh, it'll be huge.
Oh, dear.
But anyway, I'd...
Do you give him a chance, Midnight, Jeff Horn?
Well, if I back Manny, he'll win.
we'll all back Manny then. Okay, we'll all back Manny.
Actually, Ray, I had two winners, Jesse. I had up at Albion Park Trots, I had Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah.
And when he parked dogs last night, Midnight Party.
Oh, there you go. As long as they win Midnight, that's all
I'm not
matters.
Sure about your betting patterns here. what you're using
getting a collector doesn't
yardstick.
Matter.
Yeah. And what
listen, would you like a boxing team?
Oh, here we go.
The rugby league boxing team.
Okay.
Your fullback, play for Canterbury, Jim Champion.
Yep.
Yeah.
On the wing, we've got Scott Donald and Johnny King. The centres, Johnny Ring and Mark Bell. The halves, Ken Wright and Ray Hook. The lock, Gavin Clinch.
Yes.
The second row, Al George and Peter Foreman. The props, Dick Jeffrey and Mario Fennick.
Yeah.
The hooker, Mickey Basham. And the coach, play for the Magpies, Jimmy Sharman.
Outstanding.
Very good. Very good. Was it the same Jimmy Sharman from Sharman's Boxing Tents?
Yeah, that was him.
Yeah, right.
My old man used to take me to those when I was a kid at the Cootamundra show.
Did he?
Yeah.
Oh, you might have seen me there then.
Were you what? Were you fighting?
I had one fight, but we got barred.
What happened?
Well, you were supposed to spar for half a minute before you got serious.
Yeah.
You didn't.
So we went in and King hit him straight up.
Did you get the money on first, did you, Midnight, or not?
Yeah, mate, yeah, we got barred from there.
But I remember they used to toss the coins in after the fight, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, on the camera.
I am showing you how old I am, mate, Jimmy.
Yeah. Right. Well, you sit down this afternoon and have a bit of a rest, a cup of tea probably, a little kip this afternoon for about 4 hours.
I've had me a shower. I'm off to the club now.
Good on you, Midnight.
All right, good on you, Midnight. Great team.
The show ends, mate, I'm off.
Good
All
on
right,
you,
mate.
Good
enjoy
on
the
you.
Fight
Stick
today,
around
mate.
To the end of the show.
Yeah, enjoy the fight today, mate.
You've got 16 and a half minutes of gold coming your way, Midnight. Starting with these ads.
Ride the night with Trackside. For the first time ever, you can now experience the thrill of Trackside thoroughbred, craze, and harness races under light. Switch
looking across to night racing from 7 p.m. You'll see trackside as you've never seen it before. So, light up your night and play trackside at your local tap venue. Gamble responsibly.
Winter is here. There's no better way to shake off the winter blues than by celebrating Christmas in July at Rose Hill Gardens. Warm yourself up with a traditional festive lunch while enjoying spectacular views of the home straight. Catch all the racing action, including the listed $150,000 winter stakes. Celebrate Christmas in July at Rose Hill Gardens. Hospitality packages start at only $99. Book your place today at www.theatc.com.au.
Join the Dynamic Syndications Gay and Adrian team in the first Yearling by Champion, Done Deal. 10 wins, 6 Group 1s and over $5.3 million. From Fund Zero, half-sister to the dam of champion two-year-old Moss Fun.
He was a standout at the Magic Millions. What a great racehorse Done Deal was, and what a cracking family this filly has. The Done Deal filly should be a done deal.
Visit dynamicsyndications.com or call 1-800-619-999. AFSL 3360808.
Listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
How good is it? You know your team's not going to get relegated because they haven't played this weekend yet. So that's something to look forward to.
Hang on.
Hawthorn's outsiders to Collingwood. Aren't they about to sack their coach, Collingwood?
Been doing that for a number of years, actually.
Yeah, right.
Nathan Buckley's hung on. Like,
and yet Hawthorn, they've got arguably the best coach in the league, right?
Correct.
How does that work? Anyway, Trent Lansgar might be able to tell us from tab.com.au. G'day, Trent.
Oh, good morning to you, Jimmy and Ray. Oh, looking forward to this afternoon, and hopefully that relegation threatened side manages to get another win at an outsider's price.
Oh, there you go. Very astute. Righto, well, let's get to the National Rugby League. Talk about relegation battle. Newcastle up against the West Tigers.
Yes, yeah, a battle of cellar dwellers here. 2 o'clock at McDonald Jones Home Stadium. And the old adage of perhaps not backing bad teams here, Jimmy. Well, Newcastle have been well supported this week. They're $1.53 with West Tigers $2.50. The line is 4.5. Just with the margin betting, you've got the Knights by 13 plus $2.90 and 1 to 12, $3. West Tigers 1 to 12, $3.75 and 13 or more at $6.25. But then 4 o'clock this afternoon at ANZ Stadium. Zorba mentioned it before when he was on. South, if they've got any chance of making the finals, they have to win today. They're $2.35 against Penrith at $1.60. The line there is 3.5. Just with the margin betting there, the Panthers 1-12, $2.85 and 13 or more, $3.40. The Rabbitohs 1-12, $3.50 and 13 plus at $5.75. And just with the first try scorers in the match between Newcastle and West Tigers, Nathan Ross is the $9 favourite, while for South against Penrith, Alex Johnston, Josh Manshaw and Dallin Watanis-Lesniak, they share favouritism at $9.
Three games to go to end round 15 of the AFL. Trent, what about your team, the Hawks, against the Maggies?
Well, that's the middle one there, Ray. It is the 3:20 first bounce at the MCG, and you've got Hawthorn $2.35, Collingwood $1.60. The line there is 3.5. Just the favourite options in margin betting. The Magpies by under 39.5 at $2.25, and the Hawks under 39.5 at $2.70. And Collingwood's Jamie Elliott, the $9 favourite to kick the first goal. The first of the matches this afternoon, 1:10 at Etihad Stadium, and Essendon are $1.08 against the Brisbane Lions at $8. The line there is 47.5. So as you would expect, the Bombers by over 39.5. The favoured way at $1.65 with Joe Danaher, the $7 favourite to boot through the first goal. And then 4:40 at Domain Stadium. Couple of sides still looking for finals berth. Fremantle, they are $2.35. St Kilda, $1.60. The line there is 7.5. You've got the Saints under 39.5 at $2.25. The favourite option for the margin betting. And Nick Revolt is the $9 favourite to kick the first goal.
Battle of Brisbane, the big one, Jeff Horn versus Manny Pacquiao.
It will be a big one, Ray. Now, just in terms of what we're anticipating with the turnover, it should be one of the five biggest fights we've ever had with the betting. So Green versus Mundine, the first one, will be the biggest and will probably stand the test of time for a long period. But this is anticipated to be a big one, and obviously parochial money for Jeff Horn. He is a $4.25 outsider against Manny Pacquiao at $1.22. The method of result, you've got Pacquiao by KO or TKO at $2.20, Pacquiao by decision at $2.50, Horn by knockout or TKO $6.50, by decision at $11, the draws at $26, and hopefully neither fighter gets disqualified, but that is $34. So that's the Battle of Brisbane, anticipating around about 1:30 this afternoon, just depending on what happens in the other bouts before that. Just some other sport, the Confederations Cup final tomorrow morning at 4 o'clock. To win the Confederations Cup, Germany's $1.72 and Chile $2.05. The Australian women, they're $1.45 against New Zealand in the Women's Cricket World Cup, 7:30 tonight, and obviously Wimbledon begins tomorrow night. So there is plenty happening, and you can check out all those markets and plenty more at tab.com.au.
You heading out to the MCG today, Trent?
I will be heading out there, Jimmy.
And what will you wear, just out of interest?
Well, usually I wear just the standard jeans and Hawthorn gear, but I've actually been invited to a function, so I've actually had to don the suit today.
Oh, well, that's handy, because you could have worn it at the races yesterday and then just double it up for today like you usually do.
Well, as Ray has seen at a couple of spring carnivals, the brown and gold tie does get a wear, and that will be the case today with a couple of scarves.
Sometimes you don't even go home from the races when you turn up on
Yeah, we'll just keep them quiet there, right?
All right, no, we won't tell anyone, Trent. Good work. Good on you, mate.
Thank you, guys.
Trent Lansgale there from tab.com.au. Time now to speak to Scotty Foster from Steve Foster & Sons. We do that every Sunday morning, and we're looking forward to the cars that he is offering up. I've got to say, Raymond, and remember, all around New South Wales, the Steve Foster and Sons can help you with this, because you either log on to the website or you give them a call if you can't make it down to the lot, and they will source the car that you want, or indeed, if they've got a car on the lot that you do like, they can sort it out for you as well. Mention this program, you get yourself a bit of a discount as well. I think Scotty is there right now. G'day, Scotty.
Good morning, boys. Yes, I am here, and definitely we'd like the listeners to mention Sky Sports Radio, and we'll do whatever we can to make it even sweeter. So, you know, listeners, make sure you do mention it.
2010 Hyundai Getz 5-door automatic hatch. Sounds good.
Yes, it's probably the best small car we've ever had. This is a one-owner with only 37,000 kilometres. It has logbooks with full-service history, and it's in immaculate condition. It's red in colour with tinted windows. The car looks superb. It drives even better. It has air conditioning, power steering, dual airbags, ABS brakes, traction control, electronic stability control, leather steering wheel. It's got reverse sensors, power windows, power mirrors, and remote central locking. This is a great little four-cylinder, 1.6-litre engine. It's got a four-speed automatic transmission. Drives this little beauty along, so it's very economical, very reliable, but most importantly, it's a very safe vehicle. So this is a very low-kilometre small auto hatch. It's on sale for just $8,990. That also includes our three-year warranty. So go to the website, www.fostersqualitycars.com.au, or give us a call on 963-75024. This is a great little car, and it's going to be perfect for someone.
Yeah, we say it every week, don't we, Scotty, that that car will not last. But if someone needs any help with finance, you can also help them there too.
We certainly can. We've got some great finance packages available at the moment. But we're also helping a lot of people that couldn't previously get finance get into a car. If they've had credit issues in the past, then now is the time to call. They're on a pension, have paid or unpaid defaults, new to Australia, or on a student visa, we can help them. So if you're on sickness benefits or you're starting a new business and need a work vehicle, even Uber drivers, go to our website, www.fostersqualitycars.com.au, or give us a call on 963-75024, because we can help you get driving today.
And no footy at Ringrose today?
No, we had a game yesterday, the Ron Massey Cup side. They had a hard-fought win against the Auburn Warriors, scoring two late tries to win 28-24, and Matty Utah was still running around there with the Warriors. So,
yeah, right.
Yeah, he's still out there running. But today, the New South Wales Intrust Super Premiership, they're playing Blacktown Workers Sea Eagles at HE Leybutt Reserve for a 3 p.m. kickoff. The boys are looking for three straight wins and a spot in the top eight, so they're going to be very hard to beat. And I tip them to be an upset victory today for the boys. They're currently, I think, 235 on TAB. And I reckon we'll give it to him today.
CSI Ovave into the starting side. He's a good player.
He tore him apart last week too.
Did he?
He played, and a big I don't know, dominating runner of the ball, and,
yeah.
and he just busted through him. So I'm expecting that again today. So the boys are pumped, and boys, I can't believe they're not favourites. We're equal on the table with Blacktown, but we've had more wins than them. So I think we're going to give it to them.
Candy from a baby, Scotty.
Exactly, exactly.
Good on you, mate. Enjoy that.
All right, boys, and Valius on Wednesday.
Okay, well, I'll tip it this time, Scotty, I reckon.
You pull it up? Right, well, that'll stop it?
No, it'll be right. It'll keep going. Keep it going, Scotty. Keep it going. Good on you, mate.
Thanks, guys.
See you, mate.
Scotty Foster there from Steve Foster & Sons Quality Cars. Check them out online, fostersqualitycars.com.au, or you can give them a call, 9637-5024.
Listen into the Big Sports Breakfast from Monday for your chance to win a double pass to Arsenal versus Sydney FC or Arsenal versus Western Sydney Wanderers at ANZ. Watch the game in luxury from a fully catered corporate box. For your chance to win, tune in from 5:30 a.m. Monday. On the line is Stuart, who found love earlier than expected.
That's right. Yeah, it was just after the third leg of the quaddie.
Go on.
Well, I was 3 from 3 and even had a roughie in there, but the last leg had me nervous, the quaddie killer. So I went for Tab's quaddie cash out and still came out in front.
That'll settle the nerves. If you love an early collect, cash out of your quaddie with Tab's quaddie cash out.
Tab, we love a bet.
Terms and conditions at tab.com.au. Gamble responsibly.
Jagai. And oh, they lost the ball for Fafita. Fafita for the line. He's got himself another try.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Brought to you by Penrith Mazda. The BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres. At Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Look, we've got a little bit of a problem here. Well, I mean, we've got a lot of problems. But one of the problems we have here as well, Raymond, is that we've got 2 tickets to give away to the Penrith and South game. And they're at the centreline seats, all courtesy of ANZ Stadium. Yes. Arthur and the team out there. Yeah, that's
thank
the
you very much for that.
Yeah, we do appreciate it. So we've got to give them away. And unfortunately, and we said we're the best contribution. And the guys who made the strong contribution, Dez is from Merriweather. So it's a long way to come. So we're going to give him some Sony Music CDs.
Correct. Yep.
So good on you, Dez. And Dez mentioned a whole heap of people that he thought was a good nomination. The Maccabi Divas, 3 Melbourne Cups, Steve Bradbury, gold medal, and the Sharkies. So, Des, we'll be sending you a Sony Music pack. We also like the Bandit from Leichhardt, who made mention of
he was
Greece's football champions, Kieran Perkins, Lane 8, Kathy Freeman in Sydney, and Michelle Payne and Prince of Penzance. So we can't get hold of Bandit.
Well,
so
we'll send him out a prize pack anyway.
Yeah, we'll send him out a prize pack when we do get hold of him. But what we thought we'd do now is give us a call on 1353 53. If you're the seventh caller through, give us a call on 1353 53. If you're the seventh caller through, you'll get a double pass, courtesy of ANZ Stadium, to the game today, Panthers up against the Rabbitohs.
Correct.
At ANZ Stadium. Remember, it's a 4 o'clock kickoff, so they're at centre line seats now.
Great seats.
They are great seats. They're the padded seats or something,
aren't they? They are, little bucket seats. And,
there's
a bar and the food right behind you.
Right behind you.
How is it? Halfway line.
How is it that you know about it, Ray?
Because that's where I'm going today as well.
I'd feed him. Can I ask you a really serious question? How long is it since you've paid for attendance to a sporting event? And you can't count Muhammad Ali in Louisville, Kentucky. Even then, I think you probably pulled some strings to get him free.
I didn't. Gee, the cricket last summer. I went one day and
you weren't sitting in the News Limited box?
No.
You paid to go?
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
When was the last time you paid, Jimmy Smith?
Last Sunday.
What for?
We paid to go to the Sharks Manly game.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Took all the kids
down
on the hill.
Couldn't strings. Get in.
Oh, Tracy went in and bought him. Didn't even ask me, but yeah.
You would have bought
of course you would have. Bloody hell. Anyway, that's the way. So phone lines have lit up, so there you go. Seventh caller, you're through. Is it Angelo? Good on you, Angelo.
Angelo's the winner.
Now, if you do see Ray and Tanya out there, just be courteous. Be very careful how you approach them. You know, make sure there's time. I think you give a window for people to come and speak to you at different stages.
Really bad, Jimmy Smith.
Is that right?
If Angelo does turn up, I'll go and say hello and hope he enjoys the game. I hope he's a Penrith supporter. If not, that doesn't matter if he's a South supporter.
So. Yeah, so you're going through the Panthers today. Mm-hmm. Now, give us that tip again that you said is a moral, it's a certainty. That's how you started, didn't you? You marked
out.
It with 3 asterisks in your book. I've changed my staking plan based on it.
Race 2, number 2, Four Socks at Mudgee.
Race 2, number 2.
Four Socks.
Four Socks. How confusing is that? Yeah. Two times two is four.
And, yeah, and I'm going to have something on Jeff Horn to win by TKO. KO, knockout. $6.50 it is. If it goes the distance, I think Pacquiao will get the job done. But if Jeff Horn can win it, be by knockout.
Oh, you'd love to see it, wouldn't you? It'd be a huge moment in Australian sport. It is the biggest fight in Australia's history. When you talk about pay-per-view numbers, when you talk about people turning up there live, when you talk about the number of... Did you see how many people will be watching this in the United States?
No.
10 million.
Imagine if he fights really well and, heaven forbid, wins or goes the distance with him. He'll get some great opportunities in the States. Who are you going for?
In the fight?
Who do you think will win?
Oh, I think Manny Pacquiao will win. Of course, I'm going for Jeff Horn. But I heard Brent Reed from The Australian say yesterday that the welterweight is a very lucrative weight division, and there could be some super fights. So if he fights well, Jeff Horn, in front of a really big global audience, then he could be there and really set himself up. Hi, guys. What about Kyle Chambers and Chloe Esposito at the Olympics? Michelle Payne in the Melbourne Cup. That's from Steve, a late one SMS coming in. Yeah, they're all been good, the nomination.